I'll be reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 16 through 21. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creation. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul.
Well, it certainly is good to be back, and I publicly want to thank Joel for the very last minute last Sunday of picking up the thing and moving forward. And I've heard many great things about the lesson just last week, and I appreciate it very, very much. You know, we have gone through an extended holiday season. It's like one hasn't ended and another one starts. We had Thanksgiving, and we no sooner had the turkey on the table than we were starting to go out on Black Friday. That started on Thursday, and it just continued on and on, and now we're finishing up here in a day or so with New Year's. And if you've binge-watched the holiday shows and the movies, then you know it is the official everybody is supposed to be happy and nice season. But what is normal for the rest of the year? Is the other 10.5 months where people are cranky and we have lots of complaining? That the children are not worried about who sees them when they're sleeping or when they're awake. You know, one of the good things that come out of the holiday season is the idea of sharing good things with one another, things that we have been blessed with. It is a time when people really do seek to think about others differently. You know, we don't think an awful lot about our mail carrier, our newspaper carrier, but oftentimes this type of time of year, we may leave them a little something. We share gifts with those in need. We give good gifts to our families and our friends. But now that the season is over, now that the tree's been taken down, the decorations have been stored away for another year, what about us? What about you or me? What are we really like when the expectations of being nice are no longer as heavily placed upon us? With the new year just around the corner, there should come the idea of self-reflection and personal growth. As I was looking at verses that would be beneficial for the new year, these verses from James is a great checklist on our attitudes and our actions. And I would like us this morning, if you'll keep your finger here in James chapter 1, to examine a checklist, if you will, of what James provides for us. Let's look again at verses 16 through 18. This part, be not deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. And of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be kind be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. There's a man by the name of Dr. Dale Robbins. He is an author. I don't know exactly. He's a preacher, but I don't know what denomination. But he writes, he said, I used to think people complained because they had lots of problems. He said, but I come to realize that they have problems because they complain. Complaining doesn't change anything or make situations better. It amplifies frustrations. It spreads discontent and discord and can invoke an invitation for the devil to cause havoc with our lives. In other words, complaining makes us miserable. And we have passages that Paul reiterates some of these things about it. In Philippians chapter 2, in verses 14 and 15, where Paul says, do everything without grumbling and complaining, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe. Now, if I had a dime for every time I allowed that verse of Scripture to apply to me, I'd be broke. But in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, Paul also writes, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. How many of us enjoy being around negative people? How many times do we sit there and we say, I can't wait to get around so-and-so because they're so negative that I just enjoy the daylights out of it? Friends, a positive, thankful person is a great light in this dark world. We shine when we are thankful. Instead of looking at the negatives in our lives and complaining, Christians need to look at and for the positives and give thanks. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. And every single day, we can live in gratitude for what God has given us. We have been blessed with a good Christian family, strong in the Lord, trying our very best each and every day to walk the right path. We've been blessed with material blessings. But the greatest gift that we've been blessed with is that our sins have been removed and that we live in the grace and the holiness of God. We, you and I, are God's first fruits of creation. In essence, God is showing to the world, a world that is dying, a world that is decaying, what goodness looks like through us. God has placed you maybe in your workplace to show off what it means to be a Christian. God has placed us in our homes to show off what it means to be a Christian. God has placed us in our communities so the world can see what it means to be a light that shines in dark places. Every year I let everybody know I do not make resolutions. I'm not going to make anything I have no intention of keeping. I say I'm going to lose some weight. I might lose it, but it's going to come back. I rest assured. But we ought to develop at least within ourselves each and every year a checklist on how we can improve ourselves. A new checklist, if you will, of how we ought to live our Christian life. And it would be unfair to sit there and say, well, you need to do this or to do that, and we need to do this or to do that without the house. You can imagine wanting to build a house for yourself. And you go out and you just buy a bunch of lumber and some nails, and then you start the next day building a house with no idea what it's going to look like or how it needs to be constructed. We would never do that without plans. James gives us plans. He gives us some practical steps that we can in order to be able to improve ourselves. Verse 19, "And this, my beloved, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger." You know, sometimes the best advice is the simplest advice. And James, in his first teaching here, he's telling us to listen. This expression that he is using here is not given in a broad, generic term of all people, but in the singular idea of each individual. James, in his letter here, in these verses, is trying to make it very personal to each and every one of us. You, me, forget everyone else. Forget everyone else's actions for a moment. And you and me, be quick to listen. Have you ever witnessed two people in a heated argument screaming back and forth to each other? How do you listen to anything that anybody's saying? But it begs the question of what we are to listen to. Now in verses 18 and verse 21, James tells us that's the truth. The word of faith he uses in verse 18 and verse 21, he says the engrafted or the ingrained word. We don't need to listen to the gossip. We don't need to listen to the teachings of men that are contrary to what God's word teaches. We don't even need to listen to the wise sounding human thoughts. Listen to God. How do we listen to God? And James says, be slow to speak. Be quick to listen. Be slow to speak. Then James continues on and he says about being slow to anger. I want to look at the last clause of verse 19 and then read verse 20. Be slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. The anger that we have is rarely the same anger that God has. We get angry at sin. But generally that means that we're angry at somebody else's sin, not ours. Think for just a moment about when we get angry. We tend to let that anger sit, don't we? It sits in us that we start to do in it. We start to get tenderized. Start to get hot under the collar. Then we become bitter. And even our looks are evil. See, that's not how God's anger works. See, God is angry at the sin, not the sinner. See, we're angry at the sinner. We're angry at other people's sins. But we're going to stay comfortable in ours. We have to deal with our angers. We have to learn how to release it. Let it go. But we have to do it in a way that is godly and in a way that will not be harmful to others. Let's keep reading at verse 21. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Now, I've used the English Standard Version, my translations this week. I think it really clears up some things sometimes in confusion of the words. The other, I think it was Wednesday, the day after Christmas. And we didn't put up any decorations this year because our house is a mess with the construction. And if we'd have put up a tree with all the dust we had, it would have been a white Christmas tree instead of a green one. So Vicki was out and we had some candles that we put in the windows and things. And Vicki went out Thursday evening, she's out looking and nobody down the street had their lights on. So she said, well, they must pack things up pretty quick around here. The day after Christmas, those lights aren't coming on anymore. Friends, the holidays are over and it's time to clean up. It's time to put away the decorations. And James is telling us, and here it is, time for a personal cleanup. It's time to put away all the filth and the wickedness and fill ourselves up with God's Word. You know, the new year is a great time to start putting stuff out on the curb and get rid of it. And this also within our own spiritual cleansing, to get rid of the stuff in our lives that hinders us and holds us back. James gives us a step program to work with. And he has us start with gratitude, being thankful for what we've been given and the blessings. And then it extends through the listening of God's word and speaking less. And it removes the anger within us that oftentimes drives us to sin and has us put that sin away. Turn to God's word to find fulfillment in life. So many times people think that the winter time is such a bleak time because things turn brown. There are no leaves and no green. I wish the birds would fly south, all of them, further south, even if it's just Anderson, but a little further south or whatever. Just not hanging on the mirror of my car. And they think it's such a bleak picture. But you know, there is no better time to start cleaning things out than when you can see clearly the things that need cleaning. Then first of the year is a great time to clean oneself up. Change the way you think, the way you believe, the way you act. It is a prayer of many in this congregation, that we know there are those that we pray will humbly accept God's word and allow it to be implanted into your life. I pray that you will open up God's word. It is a word to you, to each of us. Read it and allow his joy to be wrapped around you. Let go of the things in this world that bind you. It is a great way to live. A life free from anger, free from wickedness, and being able each and every day to bask in the love of God. Through repentance, confession, and baptism, you can experience in your life true freedom and joy. And if you would like for us to pray for you, to teach you, or you need the congregation here to embrace you as you walk with God, if there's any that has a need this morning, we pray that you'll come. As together we stand and we sing.